I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. It's back to school time, and that means worrying about getting the right school supplies, remembering a locker combination, and if you're a teenager, figuring out how to fit in the dating scene. This hour, we'll talk with psychologist Wes Crenshaw and his panel of teen experts about how teens find real love in high school while swimming in a sea of hormones, hookups, and angst. We'll also look at what goes into a teen relationship to give it staying power when going study is something of a rarity. It's Up to Date, following this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Schools are welcoming students back for the fall term, which means teens are turning their attention to what's really important at 16, dating. No surprise there. But parents may be a little behind on how teens really couple or don't couple up these days. Dr. Wes Crenshaw is back. He's brought with us a panel of real experts, high school seniors, who know a lot about the rare art of teenage monogamy. You remember that, don't you? Asking somebody out, the anxiety of knowing you might get turned down, going study. Believe it or not, dating is still out there, but it's not the dating that you adults once knew back in high school. Today we talk about how to find real love in high school and why in a sea of hanging out and hooking up is something really special and important. Later on this hour, one opinion writer and her take on last Saturday's rodeo incident at the Missouri State Fair. But first, hooking up or real love. Dr. Wes Crenshaw is a board-certified family psychologist. He writes the weekly Double Take advice column for teens and parents in the Lawrence Journal World. He also authors the Dear Dr. Wes series of books for parents and teens. Wes, always good to have you. Good morning.
Nice to be here as always.
With him today are two real-life dating couples. High school senior Kendra Schwartz is the brand-new co-author of Double Take. She's joined by her boyfriend, William. He's also a senior at Lawrence High School. They've been together as a couple for a year, and thank you both for joining us. So good to have you.
Thanks for having us.
And also here is Josie Myers, who was the runner-up in the competitive Double Take writing contest. She's a Lawrence High School senior. She's joined by her boyfriend, Noah, who's a recent graduate of Lawrence High School. They've been together for, get this, 2 years, a very long time in high school. Good to have the two of you, too. Good morning.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Well, Wes, I think it feels like Valentine's Day in August in this studio. There's so much love in here. What got you thinking about this topic over the summer?
Yeah, it's a little off season, isn't it?
But, yes, it is.
I enjoyed my interviews with both of these young women and some other. We had quite a few applicants this year for the contest, and we got to talking about dating, and both expressed that they had these very long-term relationships. And I know from working daily 5 days a week in the teen culture and college young adult culture.
Let me guess. This is something a little unusual.
It is. They're like in the zoo. It's like we're seeing these rare creatures.
And I'm glad you all are laughing.
Well, yeah. Anybody who wants to debate that and, you know, call in and talk about their true love now while they're 17 is welcome to do so, because I love those stories. And it's really funny. This morning I was sitting at Panera with my kids waiting to meet these guys so we could come into the studio.
Yeah.
And I looked down the way at the legends, and here was the cutest couple walking together hand in hand. And I said, Alyssa, look, it's a cute couple. And then I realized that it was William and Kendra.
Yeah. Oh, just them. Yeah.
So I'm a sucker for cute couples, and I think it's more important than just delighting us all, because we get to learn a little bit about how these folks are practicing more monogamous relationships, even at this age.
Let's get this show on the map for a lot of our listeners out there, because you're pointing out that this is unusual. Monogamy in high school is unusual. And watching my own kids in high school, I'm recognizing very much the same thing with them. What's happened? I mean, why the switch in our culture where this notion of a long-term going steady relationship in high school suddenly is so out of kilter with what the norm is these days.
Well, this we all met and had quite a good focus group about this in my office a couple of weeks ago. And I think there is a lot of sociology in this and something that needs to be studied a little bit more. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, there was a book called The Hookup Handbook that came out. And in there, the two young women who authored it, college-age women, said, girls are the new guys. And this is actually pretty accurate. Girls have sort of, I think, come to this idea that, taking control of their sexuality means being more open to hookups, random hookups, whatever that may be. That mm-hmm. can mean making out to the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that has given guys a pretty good free pass. So, you know, back in the day, you had to work at being a couple in order to have access to a sexual relationship. That's just not necessary for a lot of people nowadays.
And I guess
that's
the big
change.
It's a big change, a huge change in our society. Why? I mean, do you know the answer?
Well, I hate to pick on any one source because it's multiple sources, but an illustration of that is that as far back as the mid-70s, the sort of cosmopolitan pitch was that that is how you took control of your sexuality, that you were the dominant player in a
right.
dating and sexual relationship. And I'm not here in any way to, you know, we've had many different discussions of sex on this show and will in the future. I'm not doing anything to be sex negative here, but I think I'm still a fan of what these guys do is have a dating relationship that's actually a relationship. There's good in being a couple over a lifetime. There's good in joining together and actually having that kind of intimacy. And today, I think it's sort of like disposable single-serving relationships. People are not only getting a sexual relationship on the short term, but intimacy and closeness without really ever making a commitment. And I think this is perhaps illustrative of a larger trend that this generation kind of sees a lot of disposability in those things.
And we'll talk a little bit later about what the ramifications, I guess the obvious question here, the ramifications of what this means for couples going forward in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Well, let me just ask, you know, Kendra and William, just how unusual is this at Lawrence High School that you guys are a, quote, steady relationship versus something else? What about it, Kendra?
Well, just the other day, actually, I was at the Link Crew training, which is just kind of how we prep the freshmen at Lawrence High.
Yeah, we have that at Shawnee Mission East. You're sort of helping the freshmen come in and getting them oriented, right?
And I had a number of girls come up to me and ask me after the entire summer, am I still with William? And I simply said yes, and they all squealed and freaked out, which I think illustrates how rare it is and how they have... sort of been living vicariously through our relationship since it is so hard to find that at our high school. And I think
they squealed because why? It's so unusual, or they think you're strange, or why do they squeal?
I think they squealed and they kind of talked about it because I think they're excited that this still exists. It's kind of that still Disney fairy tale romance thing that they're looking for, and it's so rare to find it that we almost seem like we're out of a storybook. So
well, if they're looking for it, why isn't it more common?
I think it's not more common just because of the way that we've evolved, sort of what Wes was talking about earlier. The way that our generation is we are terrified of commitment, and I think girls generally tend to be looking for that commitment still in their nature. Like, we are still looking for that because that's how we've always been. And I think guys tend to go further away from that. Would you say that's true, William?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, William, how do your friends react to the fact that you're in a steady relationship? What do you hear from your buddies?
Well, I don't know if they like it or not because I don't get to see them as much.
Yeah.
Really? Because
yeah.
I used to be with them, like, all the time.
So, and now you're not.
And now I'm not. But I'm sure they're happy for me.
Mm-hmm.
For it. Like,
in a weird way.
There's only... Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's only been one other person that I know that I'm close with that has had a similar relationship like this. So
I mean, this is just so incredible to me. I mean, that even in my lifetime, we're seeing this diametric shift in in dating patterns. I mean, for generations, it was Archie comic books and all that stuff, long-term relationships, Archie and Veronica and all this stuff, and that's sort of the way it was. Let me go to Josie and Noah. Josie, how do your friends react to the fact that you're in a steady relationship?
Most of them don't really have the steady relationship that I do just because of how they act towards the other people that they're around. They don't really – most of my friends aren't really looking for it, but they're happy for me in my relationship.
Why aren't they looking for it?
We
just heard Kendra saying that most girls at high school still sort of hold that up to be the ideal. Why not?
Most girls would. I actually really only have a really close small friend group, and they aren't really looking for relationships at the moment.
And why? What's your theory?
My theory
That's
is...
That's the way it's always been. Why has it changed?
They just don't have, like, as much of a, like... I don't know how to say this.
I mean, this whole idea of commitment being sort of a bad word, I mean, why is it a bad word?
They just don't want to be in that relationship, or it kind of scares them to have something, like be responsible, I guess. They're scared of the responsibility that comes with the commitment.
It's one more thing they've got to worry about and nurture and cultivate, and it's a responsibility maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to go there.
Not my friends, no.
Yeah.
I think also because there is so much pressure, since it is so rare, I think the people who maybe in the past would have been looking for a relationship are now too terrified because of how heavy it is to be in a committed relationship and how strange it is. I think that's maybe why there's that transition with your friends and a couple other girls.
Noah, is it heavy? Is it sort of a burden, I guess, in a sense, in some ways?
For me, it's definitely not a burden. But
that's a good answer, Noah.
Thank you.
That's exactly the right
thing.
You know,
and I mean, yeah. I'm not just saying that to say that. It's just for me personally, it's just I was kind of born wanting a relationship. Because I mean, I always just I wanted to be a police officer, and then I wanted to have a wife and a kid, and just have a house, and you know, just live a simple life. And I've been told by many people that that's pretty peculiar. But I don't know. It's just been completely natural to me.
I mean, why is it unusual? Why aren't your friends sort of that way, too? What's going on out there?
Well, I don't know. My kind of theory on it is that it's more in a sense of a societal change. As in, I know for my generation, we're so used to instant gratification that we're not really used to actually working for something anymore. And I know for my whole life, I've worked to get where I am today. And I'm more than happy, you know, to spend time and to love somebody and to work with that relationship rather than just, you know, instantly being gratified. Because, I mean, it's a personal achievement. And the fact that, you know, I get to be as close to somebody as I am, I love it.
Man, he just articulated that really well. You just said that really well, man. You got to put that in a bottle and sell it. You just said something really profound. Yeah,
I think he's really on to something there too. And the problem is, if you aren't brought up or have sort of an intrinsic sense of that kind of intimacy, then you want to learn it. You have to learn it through trial and error. And if it's easy to have a sexual and emotionally intimate relationship and companionship relationship with someone, and they ask very little in return, you're not going to develop a desire to be in that kind of commitment. People do what they're reinforced for. And I think part of why this has been good for Noah and Josie is they do really reinforce each other. They make it pleasant for each other. They make it so that the opportunity cost isn't there. You know, the opportunity cost in the situation is you can't date other people. Right, Noah? Right, Jesse? No, we don't date other people. And so you're losing some opportunity there, but they're gaining back more in their collective relationship. And this is not – they get that. And this is not how a lot of young people see it. They see it as a you know, a ball and chain. You know, that's an idea that goes back – generations. Yeah, the old ball and chain.
This is just amazing to me. It's just so interesting. Again, I've been observing this through my own older son and sort of seeing how the change is, but you guys are articulating all this so well. I want to get our listeners involved here and you parents, and if you're a high school kid who's listening to this and want to call us about what you're seeing out there, we'd very much like to hear from you. Parents, what are you noticing in your kids, their dating habits? How different is it for them than it was for you? Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address is uptodate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at @kcuruptodate. I want to get some calls going here. I'd be so interested to hear what other folks are noticing out there. Well, I guess, Wes, the question really can't wait any longer. If this is the change we're seeing, what does this portend for the divorce rate in this generation of kids as they hit their 20s and 30s in the years to come? I mean, it's just such a huge change. We don't really know what this might portend going forward, right?
Yeah, when you have to talk about it 5 days a week with people and experience the change in the office, you have to think about it all the time. And it's changing so quickly that I have trouble keeping up sometimes. I think that one of the biggest issues that we're going to see in the future is this question of when people actually do marry or live together or settle down. It's an odd phenomenon that the huge push in the last couple of years and successful push for gay marriage comes at a time when straight folks are kind of giving up on marriage. Mm-hmm. The research in their 20s, on people in their 20s, is they're just putting it off and putting it off. So one big difference is going to be how and when and if people actually marry, and the advantages of marriage, which are many, wholly apart from the emotional advantages,
yeah,
will those be lost in the next generation? The second issue is a little more controversial, perhaps, but I'm a little concerned where young men are right now. And I'm not holding myself out as the standard, but by the age of 23, I was pretty happily married. And that was common. You went to college,
yeah,
and got married. This is not common anymore.
And do we know for a fact that the average age for,
yes,
getting married is going up? Is that,
yes,
a trend we're seeing?
Yeah, I could look up the stat if we have time today. But, yes, that's absolutely true. People are delaying or not engaging in marriage towards the latter part of their 20s now. And the concern I have is that young men, in my opinion, are growing less mature by their mid-20s. You are the exception, of course, William and Noah.
Thank you.
But by their mid-20s, young men are not as mature in the sense of being able to live on their own and operate successfully. And I think young women are at least as much or more so than they have been. If you look at the college statistics.
More so than they've been what?
Historically, they are as competent in their mid-20s in the sense of being independent livers and ready to marry. And
so the issue isn't with women in your mind,
it's
with young men.
Much less so, because if you look at the college statistics in terms of graduation and attendance and applications to graduate school and all these things, the competition is much greater with young women because there's so many of them. And if you're a young man in many professions right now, you are the minority. That's who they're looking for. And all that doesn't make you necessarily a good marital partner, but it suggests that maturity in their 20s may be coming later for young men than it is young women. So the place,
wow,
where they should match and be able to marry, they're mismatched now. Now, if you want to find the true experts in this, college-age women will tell you how difficult it is to find people to have serious relationships with. I used to tell young women the age of Kendra and Josie, yeah, you know, wait till you're in college and there'll be all these guys that are much more mature now and more ready to be steady partners. A lot of those young women I've seen for several years are like tapping their watch and saying, when's that going to start happening, Wes?
So Dr. Wes's forecast then, when it comes to the divorce rate, would be what? Not looking too good, at least for young couples these days, given the parameters you're laying out here.
It's hard to know on the divorce rate. It's the marriage rate. If you don't get married, you can't get divorced.
Well, okay. And, but when they do,
yeah,
you wonder about their ability to stay in a world of instant gratification versus something that's sort of the opposite of that in some ways.
And it could well be that my hope is that by delaying marriage, the research does tell us those marriages are more likely to last. Okay, so maybe the divorce rate would go down. That's a possibility. But in the other sense, if people look at relationships as permanently terminable, that,
yeah,
you just always terminate a relationship, then it may go up. Something is not right there. And what kids are practicing right now isn't necessarily as helpful in my mind for the long run as would be more monogamous kinds of relationships. Not that this age group, these guys must go get married. I'm not saying that. But what they're doing is practicing right now some monogamous ways of being as opposed to having a different partner every weekend or every month or every third day or whatever it may be.
Okay, Dr. West is saying the world of teenage relationships is changing and changing dramatically. Lots of consequences perhaps for the future. We want your comments, 816-235-2888, and our email address again, updatedate@kcur.org. Let's go to Mike from up in Cameron. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
You there, Mike?
I was just calling about my oldest
Hello,
boy.
Mike.
He's
Let's go to Amy from Lee Summit. Amy, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning.
I must have stunned them all with my amazing commentary.
You might be having trouble with their forms. Okay, I'll put it. If you're calling, trying to get in, try it again. 816-235-2888, and our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. What do you think most teens, what's your sense? Well, why do most teens lean toward hanging out these days and hooking up versus a long-term thing? What's your theory about all that?
I feel like a lot of it is because of hormones. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of everybody's, like, default go-to response and whatnot. But, I mean, the way it is, it's just people can't really focus on something. And for hanging out and hooking up, I mean, you have this, you satiate certain primal urges, and there aren't really any consequences to it. And, you know, once again, I'm going to go back to what I talk about. It's generational. And considering the fact that we do have instant gratification for just about everything we do in our lives, there's also, especially with the advent of the internet, there are very few consequences. And, you know, you sometimes you'll hear older generations call us spoiled. But to an extent, that's probably true. And hence that spoiling. We can't really make any commitments because, as Kendra said, we are afraid of the consequences.
Wow. And people are afraid to work towards an actual relationship, I think. It's easier, I don't think emotionally, but to just not be in a full-time relationship, I guess.
Too much responsibility and too much work involved in trying to tend to a long-term relationship.
In her column yesterday, Kendra wrote that the people who say, well, if it wasn't meant to be, it wasn't meant to be, are the biggest slackers in the world.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's so true because relationships aren't meant to be. It's whether you mean to be in it or not. And it takes intentionality. You do have to mean to be in a relationship. And I think both guys here are saying that's hard. And of course it's hard for anyone in any generation at 17 or 18 to be that intentional. Kids aren't necessarily wired that way right now. And so that's why deciding to get married at 18 isn't what I'm suggesting. It's practicing a relationship style that's intentional now.
Let's see if our phones are up and running here. Mike from Cameron. Mike, good morning.
Hello again.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for trying again.
My oldest son is getting ready to start his sophomore year of college. Up until he was 16, he didn't have a girlfriend. He just ran with his friends all the time. Got his car, and he got a girlfriend for a little while, and then that kind of went away. And he didn't have a girlfriend the rest of the time in high school. And I asked him one time about it, about his senior year. I said, you know, what's the deal? Why don't you have a girlfriend? And he's like, well, girlfriends are a lot of work, and they like to tell you who you can hang out with and who you can talk to. And he said, I only get to do high school once. He says, I'm going to have fun with my friends in high school. He said, there'll be time for girls later. So, and he's got a pretty good head on his shoulders. He's got his future pretty much all planned out. And he said, right now, I'm having a relationship with my money and getting things lined up for me.
All right.
And I don't have any problem with that. I think if a young person, male or female, it doesn't want to get into the world of relationships, wants to delay that for a while, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. What I have trouble with is substituting casual hookups for that and saying you're gaining something. And even casual dating is fine, but it's this very highly sexualized, what I would call an analog to a relationship. It's not really a relationship. It's a way to get emotional and, as Noah put it, primal needs met, without having to actually lift a finger.
All right. Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Let's go to Amy from Lee Summit. Amy, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. I just had a quick thought when I was listening.
Yeah.
It just crossed my mind that maybe some of the females are not wanting to be in the long-term relationships because of fear of being dominated or abused by the partner, the young man. There's a lot of that in the news, and maybe they're not wanting to put themselves out there because of that.
What about that, Kendra?
I think that in a way that's true, but I think it's a lot more common to, if you are doing the hooking up, it's a lot more of a dangerous game than if you are in a longer-term relationship. Because although there is date rape, which I think is common, once you are in a long-term relationship, going in, you know what the person wants and what the person needs, and you already have that commitment. So, yes, date rape can occur. But once you are together for as long as William and I have been together, as long as Josie and Noah, that's less of a concern, I believe, than if you are hooking up. You never know what you're going to get, and you never know, you have no guarantee they will respect you in any way, shape, or form.
Josie, you buy that?
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess my thought was, what I was thinking was, or what I was trying to say was that they, you know, being so young, is, you know, if you start dating in ninth grade, or so you're 15, 16, 17, pretty impressionable. And then if you have somebody who's very dominant, then they can kind of control you, and, you know, you might not do. And it could be either one, male or female, you know, because that might make the person mad, or you might not go for what you want to go for because you think they wouldn't like that, you know, just that kind of stuff.
I think any dating relationship of any sort has the possibility of abusive behavior or dating violence. But and I think also if that's what people practice in their teens, they're more likely to transition that to adulthood also. I've never met anyone who was reluctant to be in a relationship for that reason, unless possibly I can think of a few people who had been through that a few times and therefore did not want to try that again. But on average... and I think if you take it a little less severely, like we were saying earlier, earlier caller, that sure, when you're in a relationship, the partners are going to, quote, tell each other who to hang out with. And that's always a discussion, a fundamental discussion of any couple, because, you know, it's really common nowadays. We did this on our breakup show to not break up, to break up and then be friends. And people don't really like you, Facebook messaging your exes. That's not a very good thing to do. So there may be always that struggle in a relationship as to how the structure of that works, but it doesn't necessarily make it domineering. It's just a part of the negotiation.
Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here about teenage dating. We'll talk about the role that divorce plays in all this, and we'll also ask our couples about their own stories and how they got together to begin with. Later on this hour, Barb Shelley from The Star joins us to talk about that rodeo clown incident at the Missouri State Fair. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Well, this hour we're talking about high school dating, teenage dating. Well, lots of humanity in this studio right now. Dr. Wes Crenshaw from Lawrence is here. Kendra and William, Josie and Noah are also here, all connected to Lawrence High School over in Lawrence, right? Y'all were either graduated from there or attending there right now. You know, we have a text message here from Mara who wrote us this. Are young people not as interested in relationships anymore because so many have seen their parents divorce? Good, committed relationships haven't been modeled for them. And, you know, Kendra, you talk about that in one of your columns just the other day. You talked about your own parents and how committed they've been. So talk to us about that.
Yes, I have been pretty lucky to have parents who have set an excellent example for me in their relationship since they have been together for a while. But I think it's not just that for me. I think anyone can notice patterns of what makes a good relationship, because there's got to be some relationship. Maybe it's those two teachers who are dating at school that you can look up to, or maybe it's your godparents. My godparents have also been together for quite some time. And I think just looking everywhere you can for that relationship that you want to have will help you find a good partner for yourself.
Josie Myers, what have you noticed along those lines?
You can't make it unrealistic, too. Like, there's going to be the Disney relationships, but you have to be able to work towards what you want.
And a good role model makes a difference.
You have to pick your role model.
I actually asked Josie about that when we were meeting the other day, and her response is that she's stubborn. that is one of her major dating attributes. And Noah quivered as she said.
Stubborn how, Josie?
I don't give up very easily on relationships. If I'm going to be in a relationship, that's a decision that I'm not going to go back on.
Noah, you're nodding your head when she said that.
Oh, you
know what she's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she wants to stick with it.
Definitely.
You're not going anywhere, big boy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
not playing on it either.
Yeah, I get that.
But they match well in that regard, I think, really.
Yeah.
They do.
Back to some calls here. Nancy from Overland Park. Nancy, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have a 17-year-old nephew who has already been in a 4-year relationship, still going strong, and she's a wonderful girl. They're both straight-A students into music. They're just fabulous kids. But is there any downside to not having different dating experiences as you mature?
Ah, interesting.
That's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked. The biggest downside to that is that dating really is the process of figuring out who you don't belong with. And if you don't ever sort out different people and find out their different strengths and attributes, you're not spreading your bet out very well on matching with someone. Now, and particularly for kids who've been together for 4 years, they're probably going to have to continue to reevaluate that relationship. Next week's column in Double Take, we're going to actually talk about the difficulties of having to leave high school and go to college, and how do high school couples deal with that, and your kiddo is going to have to really be thinking about that in the future.
I think they're planning to go to different colleges.
And you will want to read that column.
Because
certain couples in the studio today are facing the same issue next year and may talk about that. We'll let them say something about that. The one thing I will give you real kudos for is a lot of parents still get a little confused, and they see a couple getting, quote, too serious. And they associate that with something worrisome. And for some people, they think, well, they might start having sex. I promise you that has nothing to do with being serious. And so I like that you have supported them the way you have and been obviously inviting of his girlfriend into your life, because that's the analog for future relationships you'll have with an in-law, a daughter-in-law down the road.
Nancy, thank you. Appreciate it. You know, Willie, what do you think about this, what Wes just said about, you know, the downside to having a long-term relationship is that you don't get enough practice with different, mates, in a sense, to get a sense of strengths and weaknesses of different people. Does that concern you at all?
Well, both me and Kendra have been in previous relationships before that, and I think we've kind of sorted that out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was kind of one of the people that would date more often with different people beforehand, and I just didn't like it because there wasn't any like substance to the relationship. I didn't feel like there wasn't enough emotion, and like with the relationship with Kendra, I get a best friend for life. That's what it seems like. So.
Oh, geez, now I'm going to get all teary here. I mean, we're getting all this stuff going on in here. You know, how about you, Noah? This notion of not having enough partners to practice to see which one might make the most sense to you down the road.
Well, I kind of have two opinions about it. The first one being is that if you get into a relationship at a young age and it works and it continually works, then I honestly don't see any point whatsoever to really destroy that. For example, before I started dating Josie, I had a girlfriend for 4 years. And the only reason why that ended is because she moved back to China. I mean, no, this is going to sound weird, but thankfully that happened. Because otherwise I wouldn't have met Josie.
I wondered how you're going to handle that. Yeah. You know? Felt the glare.
You're kind of just a long-term guy here, it sounds like.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about how each of you couples sort of got together to begin with. Josie, how did you guys sort of first come together and begin going out?
Well, no, it was really sweet. We started talking for about a week ahead of time. Like, there was a party that we were both going to, and my friend was kind of who set it up. She told me to text him, and we started texting for about a week. And the night of the party, we were playing Truth or Dare, and he got down on one knee and asked me out.
Well, there you go.
Was that truth or dare?
Yeah.
I asked truth or dare, but preferably truth.
Yeah, there you go. William, how about you guys?
This is probably the part where Wes would say that he's lucky to have both couples here because we're so unique. And that we were both, like, me and Kendra were both going to a party also, I believe. But it was more of like how we were getting to the party that we started talking to each other, but it was actually through my friends also.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started talking to her after a while, we just started hanging out a lot, and then we started dating, I guess.
Mm-hmm. The funny part of that is that Kendra had no idea who he was.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't know each other at all.
Yeah, I thought he was in the grade below me, and I was actually kind of annoyed that I had to give him a ride because I didn't know him, and I was driving all of his friends, but ended up working pretty well, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about high school dating this morning on Up to Date, the different patterns that have emerged. Let's go back to some phone calls at 816-235-2888 and our email address, uptodate@kcur.org. Katie from Lawrence. Katie, you're on the show. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Fire away, Katie.
All right. Well, I was just wondering, because I've heard a lot on the show about how the people who aren't in the dating scene go and hook up every weekend. Have you guys seen that, like, firsthand? Because for me, I'm in high school. I don't go hook up every weekend.
What, how do you manage your dating life? I mean, if you don't mind, since you called, if you don't mind telling us.
Oh, of course. Well, if I find someone that I connect with, I'll go out on a date, and maybe it'll turn into something, but in high school, I'm not really looking for anything serious.
And when you say turn into anything, what do you mean?
Like a relationship, but I'm not looking for something long-term.
Oh, that sounds like a pretty good dating practice to me. Now, you ask, do I know of people who hook up every weekend? Sure, I do.
Yes.
Don't you guys? Don't you, Katie?
Yeah.
But no, I'm not saying everybody does that. There is, you're making an excellent point that there's another dating style that still exists where people casually date. And honestly, that's a pretty good style at this age to be, you know, the sort of opposite of the earlier caller who has the kid who's got 4 years under his belt. But if you're, you know, going through the process of figuring out who you don't belong with, that's a pretty good idea. Where I get concerned is when young people get into very sexual or emotional friendships, if you will, if they're even a friendship, and use that as sort of a substitute for a more committed relationship. One of the things I've been working on lately is, and this is a fallback position for me, and some listeners may think it's awful. I'm not sure I like it. But one of the things I've been working on lately is to get people to at least be in time-limited exclusive relationships. So if people are going to be sexually involved or very emotionally involved, that they say, let's do this for the semester, and then we'll reevaluate the relationship at the end of that semester. This seems to scare people less. Now, when I told the young people in this studio that, they were all like, ew, no, ew. And all I'm trying to do there is to get out of the super disposable system, friends with benefits or really casual sexual relationships, and get into something that's an analog for we are going to be exclusive and reevaluate it. And I'm hoping that will at least scare people less and they may be interested in that. So there's lots of different ways to do it, and yours sounds fine to me.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Katie.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I got to get started.
Thank you. Do parents have any clue as to how the world has shifted in terms of dating styles? In your view, Josie, are parents plugged into what's going on here?
My parents are. Both of them are on Facebook. Well, my dad doesn't do it quite as much, but
yeah,
they're very involved with my life and what I do as far as my relationships. So they're pretty plugged into what is going on as far as the changes.
Well, what do you think parents need to know these days? What should their level of involvement be? For the parents who are listening, and probably more parents are listening now than folks your age, what should they know?
They should probably be pretty plugged into who their kids are seeing as far as if they're being safe or not, and that they know where they are and who they're with.
That's tricky, though, because I'm only guessing that sometimes kids aren't real forthcoming about that or truthful about what they're doing.
Yes, I have some friends that are very much like that. You have to let them have some space, but also keep track of them and have them, even if you don't know exactly who they're with, have them text in, make sure they're okay every once
exactly.
in a while.
It's a fine line to walk.
Yeah.
The parents that get into trouble on this are the ones that get very emotionally reactive to dating and sexuality. And as we've discussed many times in here, if you will make this a very natural part of your dialogue from early on in a kid's life, mm-hmm. both of these parents, the families in here, all of the parents have done this with their kids, made it a safe thing to discuss, and be inviting, like the four-year dating mother, and be inviting to the partners or bring them into your life and be supportive. Kids will be appreciative of that.
So you're saying a parent shouldn't freak out if they come across evidence that a son or daughter is actually having sex?
That depends on how you define freaking out.
Well, okay.
I think they ought to work hard to be a supportive parent before they catch the child. We're going to do a show later in the year on this and really go through the best practices model for dealing with that. Kendra and I are blocking that out right now. And if they do find out, I think a certain level of freaking out is appropriate, but only within themselves. And the freaking out needs to be, how did I not see this coming? How was I not aware of this? Because if your kid is anywhere over about the age of 13, you should be already well underway in that discussion.
If I'm hearing you right, this notion that kids are going all the way, this is pretty common stuff these days. This is perhaps different than when you and I were kids. It's more common.
The closer you get to 19, the higher percentage likelihood that you are sexually active. And
and that's changed over the decades, right?
Generally,
am I seeing
yes.
that right?
Yeah, although part of what's changed is that it's a difficult statistic because if you say, have you ever had sex, that could be with one partner over several years. Now it may be more than one partner. So it's a difficult question to test statistically.
Mm-hmm.
But the clear point is by 19, by far most boys and most girls will have had sex. So it is important to be working on that through adolescence as a positive process.
And what I hear from high schoolers these days, by 16, 17, it's hardly unusual these days.
Absolutely. And I'll say this again.
Our panel's nodding your heads. Am I hearing that right?
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, yes. Definitely.
Definitely. Okay.
And I think part of the problem with the statistics is this, that among the big population of high school students, there is the group of – there are really about three groups, and the tiniest group are those who are abstinent by choice. If they are making a decision based on a code of beliefs that they have, whether religious or just personal desire to be abstinent, and that's great. Then there is the group of people having sex, and then there's the group of people that aren't but want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you parse those together, it looks like fewer people are having sex than would like to be because some of those are not in a position right now. They don't have a partner or they don't have access to the dating pool.
Mm-hmm.
So they count as the people who aren't having sex. Yet if given the chance, they would be. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
So the pie is made up of people who are, people who want to be, and people who are intentionally abstinent.
Kendra, William, what kind of role do you think parents need to play when it comes to how engaged they are in their kids' dating habits and what they're doing? What's your own two cents?
Well, I have to say that I think I agree that you really do need to start young. I have had parents that have been completely involved, and people are always shocked.
Start young when it comes to
talking about sex. Yeah, talking about relationships, talking about what to look for in a relationship. I probably started a little bit younger just because relationships are so important in my family, and it's such a big thing, and we really we talk a lot about the dynamics between humans because we're all kind of fascinated by that. But I think your child is more likely to tell you when they're even thinking about, like, getting sexually active or getting involved with someone. I think they're more likely to come to you if you've already set that ground, made it a safe place for them to come. You cannot just start when they turn 17 and start meeting people, or maybe they're done with puberty and they start looking more attractive. That is not the time to come in and be like, whoa, tell me everything you're doing.
If you're not talking about this but while they're in middle school, you're behind the curve.
Just that bluntly. Okay. You agree with that, William?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Back to some calls here. Amanda from Kansas City, Missouri. Amanda, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Amanda. Go ahead.
I had a comment, and I was wondering if the pressure on teenagers to have a partner, nobody wants to be the guy who can't get a girlfriend or the girl who can't get a boyfriend, and if that sense of identity and sense of social status kind of drives people to making poor decisions on who they're hooking up with, because they're just looking for anybody who will have them, not particularly paying attention to compatibility or to character, and if that leads to shorter-term hookups as opposed to the longer-term invested relationships.
Noah, run with that, would you?
Sure thing. Let's see. I feel like if people are going to let peer pressure like that influence them, then not only, would it contribute to them making poor decisions like that, but generally just making poor decisions in life. And I believe that stems from some sort of emotional craving, which probably stems from childhood. That would be my two cents for it.
Okay, we're going to leave our conversation right there. But, Wes, you said you'll be back in a few months to talk about...
We're going to sit down with Kendra and her mother and have a wonderful discussion of how they dealt with exactly that issue. They have a lot of wisdom to pour out, and I will just sit there and nod admiringly
all right
into the microphone.
Kendra Schwartz, William, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Good luck in your relationship. Josie Myers, Noah, thank you so much for coming in. So good to have
pleasure.
You. Dr. Wes Crenshaw, always a pleasure.
Great to be
here. Thanks so much.